A husband whose wife is not meeting his physical needs sexually. There is an accelerated need there, a lack of that in his life. And he is going to be much more besieged with tempting thoughts here. I think there was an article in the paper tonight that followed along those lines. How does this temptation come especially to me? Listen, temptations are going to come, but it's not a sin to be tempted. We're going to be tempted as long as we live. Our Lord was tempted. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted." Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning." What we have to realize is that that temptation is coming and we have to say no to it. We have to recognize where that thought's coming from and say no to it. No, I'm not going, like I said to Esther Liu, remember, in the 1 Corinthians 10:13, no. But Satan is so smart. He is so smart. If he'd operate like the Hulk, maybe. You know who the Hulk is, don't you? Let's say that you're at home by yourself, and you have the kids upstairs in bed, and you hear a noise outside, lady, and you go over and you pick up the curtain and you peek out the curtain and you see something that looks like the Hulk, and you know he's up to no good because he's tippy-toeing from tree to tree. And so you run to the front door to put the bolt on the door, and just as you get there, this horrible voice says to you, "Don't try to lock the door. I'll break it down. I'm coming in. I'm going to ravage your body. I'm going to completely devastate your home. I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to destroy your children." And boy, that old adrenaline would start pumping and you'd say, "Over my dead body," and single-handedly you'd push the piano up against the front door, wouldn't you? And then you'd run like crazy for the back door to push the refrigerator up against it, and you'd grab the phone on the way and you'd say, "Help, somebody come, quick, quick." Hey, but Satan's not that stupid. But hasn't he accomplished exactly the same thing? Hasn't he accomplished exactly the same thing? Do you realize now that more than 50% of marriages end in divorce? Do you remember that horrible statistic that Bill gave where pastors are now second among professional people? Second only to policemen in divorce rate? That is horrifying. That's horrifying. Satan is succeeding, isn't he? And oh, he's succeeding in your lives. Hey, when you worked with people as long as Bill and I have, you don't need to blurt your story out so many of the times. You can just see it in your eyes. You can see the bitterness there. You can see the hurt there. The first word that comes out, sit with you 2 or 3 minutes, and you can just feel the hostility. He is winning. And it's because we're ignorant of how he works. Ignorant of how he works. Okay, after temptation comes consideration. Allowing the thought to come into my mind. Considering it. To consider means to mull it over, to think about it, to evaluate it. Let that thought come in and begin to evaluate it, and our emotions become involved, and then it's much more difficult to say no because we feel like doing it. Our emotions are involved now, and it's much more difficult to say no once our emotions become involved. That's the reason it's so important to say no right at the threshold. Right at the threshold. Get up from there. Go to another setting. Free yourself some way from that circumstance. All right, so as we think, the thoughts are going to produce an act. See? Consideration, choice, and then act. But the thoughts, you can stop. As the thought comes to us, we say no. You see, a behavior pattern hasn't been built. You haven't walked in it again to strengthen it. You say no. Oh, but sometimes it's so difficult to say no. For me, when depression just seems to be, you know, just crying out, I can't remember all of these neat things and say, oh Lord, I remember I'm seated in heaven, all that. There are times when all you can say is, no, 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 and you've said it a million times. That's the way it used to be. It's not that way with me anymore because I know these truths and I know how to fight the battles. Not that I'm walking perfectly, but oh, so much more victoriously than I used to. So here's where you say no. You stop the thoughts. But if you continue thinking, those thoughts are going to produce an act. That act, if performed regularly, becomes a habit. A habit, if you walk in it, will begin to affect your disposition. Just think now what I'm saying. Begin to affect your disposition, temporary behavior. But if you continue to walk in it, it won't be just disposition. It will be the prevailing behavior, which is a stronghold. That's just the way I am. That's just the way my husband is, Annabelle. That's just the way he is. No, it's a stronghold. It's a pattern that he has learned to walk in. Okay, here's the formula that Press presented the other night. We call it the 4R formula. Recognize, refuse, reckon, and rest. And it works. It really does. Under-recognize. Recognize who your adversary is. Listen to me now. Recognize who your adversary is. Ephesians 6:12 tells us who our adversary is. He says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That would scare you to death unless you knew that inside of you is a power much greater than any of that. But my dear sister, you're not fighting your husband. Your husband is being controlled by Satan. You're fighting a power that is much beyond your ability to fight. Remember, we've got to use God's weapons. We try to fight it our way, we're going to be severely defeated. We have got to fight. You're not fighting the person at work. You're not fighting your mother-in-law or your child. You're fighting forces of wickedness, satanic forces. Recognize that. Recognize who he is. Recognize how he works. And that's what I've been trying to tell you. How he works in your thought life. Recognize how he works and recognize his intent. My dear brothers and sisters, he has one thing in his mind. Listen to me. He has one thing in his mind. Destroy. Destroy. In any way I can, destroy. Have you ever noticed, and this is strictly free, have you ever noticed that even his name spells evil? He is the personification of evil, of wickedness, of everything there is. His intent is to destroy. So thoughts like this. This is a condemning thought. This thought attacks me, my character. This thought accuses me. This thought confuses me. This thought's designed to destroy me. This thought is just not true. His intent. And we recognize who we're doing battle against. Refuse the thought. Remember Romans 6 that I said you have two powers there? And Bill said there's just two ways, not three. There's not God's way, Satan ways, and your way. There's just two ways, either God's way or Satan's way. Annabelle, don't you let sin reign. You let God reign. Okay, God, I want you to reign. Tell me how. Then Annabelle, you say no. You say no. Don't let him. What do you say to your little boy when he comes and says, can I go over to Mark's house, and you don't want him to? You say, no, I'm not going to let you. You refuse the thought. And then you reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God.